I'm Manila Chan. You are tuned into Modus Operandi. They are a threat to democracy. They're far right, terrorists even. We've heard those tropes before here in the U.S. regarding Donald Trump's MAGA movement, but now that's being echoed in Germany, referring to the rising AfD party. And that's what we'll dig into today. Just who is this new political party and what are they all about? All right, let's get into the MO. It's no surprise that the election of Donald Trump in 2016 gave way to the rise of nationalism and populism here in the U.S. and brought from the shadows a similar sentiment that had long been brewing in Europe as well. Long before Trump's presidency, the Brexit movement in the U.K. was slapped with similar accusations of white nationalism. Around the same time, over in Germany, a country desperate to forget its historical sins in the rise of Adolf Hitler, in the mid-2010s, a once fringy political group is now threatening to become the most popular party across the EU's most prosperous country. The AfD party, short for Alternative for Germany, but the D meaning Deutschland, which means Germany, of course, is the one leading in the polls in at least three states or regions, and nipping at the heels for first place across many more. Now, joining us from Germany to explain the political situation there is Dr. Eike Hammer. He is an economist and the publisher of Wirtschaft Aktuell, a business publication out there in Germany. You can learn more about Dr. Hammer and his work at hammerbrief.de. So, Dr. Hammer, in this new year, Germany has witnessed a massive polarization of society, the massive rise of the AfD, and recently, new big anti-AfD protests and all across major cities. Some have described these anti-AfD protests as a result of this massive propaganda campaign by those in power right now who feel threatened by this new party. AfD polling second nationally and first in several former East Germany areas. Talk to us about these new anti-AfD protests and who's behind them.
Well, what we can say and what we have proved is that people are hired and paid for attending these protests. In Hamburg, we have proved that in the universities, they paid students 60 euros per day for attending these protests. And what attends to is the Antifa with signs that they want to destroy the system. And so on. And the trade unions are mobilizing their people. So we have, and schools, teachers are pulling their school kids to these protests. So this is not something where people go on street because they are so content with the government. The opposite is the case. These are some propaganda, really propaganda things that we only know from East Germany before 1989. And this is scary because it's the first time that we in the West see, since 70 years, see that the government organizes these marches and even more or less forces or pays people to attend these marches. But it has nothing to do with being in favor of the government. For example, the Antifa was complaining that the people from the Christian Democratic Party, which is the expanded government, as you would say, it's a pro forma opposition, and that they were attending these protests. So they said, we have nothing in common with these people and we don't want them there. So this is getting ridiculous, what's going on there. The people have an approval rate of the government of maybe 10%. I would say not more, because we have more than half of the population in Germany does not find any party valuable for them, what they would elect. And the rest, the Ampel government is now getting maybe at best close to 30%, which is in total then not even 15% in total. So the approval rate of this government has never been worse than it is. And it's quite scary that such a government with such a low approval rate or high rate of disapproval by the people can rule in a democracy. And this is what more and more people are getting now. They are doing not good. The government is not acting in their behalf as they think. And this is why this is getting worse and worse. But these protests against is mainly managed by the government. And another thing is very important. We have still these protests from the farmers, the huge protests everywhere. There are hundreds of thousands of farmers on the street now for weeks already. And the media managed, with this help of this propaganda coup from the government, to really silence these farmers, because it was overlaid by these protests organized and paid by the government on taxpayers' behalf. And this is really scary what's going on here.
Now, hold on to that thought. We will absolutely address these farmers' complaints as well. I mean, we'll discuss that in just a moment. But first, I want to hit on the chancellor's recent remarks. Chancellor Olaf Scholz and Foreign Minister Annalena Baerbock, other senior mainstream political figures, have attended these protests. The chancellor, in his weekly video broadcast, he said this, quote, "Nazi race ideology could never again have space in Germany." That's alluding to AfD being akin to the Nazi party and have labeled them far-right extremists. Listen here.
I'm saying it clearly and bluntly. Right-wing extremists are attacking our democracy. They want to destroy our cohesion. At a secret conference, these extremists discussed how they could expel millions of people from our country.
Now, you've told me before that, ironically, AfD actually has more Jews among their ranks than any other party. But the media outlet that's called Corrective published an investigative report claiming that the party have discussed something like a mass deportation of what they called unassimilated citizens during this party meeting in Potsdam. Now, after the report was published, some have compared that story to how Nazis plotted in Potsdam to deport European Jews to Madagascar in 1942. So how do we make sense of the chancellor's rhetoric and all of this?
The chancellor and his crew is more and more openly lying. They have no problem with lying. This so-called meeting was mainly attended by Christian Democratic politicians, more than AfD politicians. There was a full variety, and it has never been talked about these deportations. So this is a full-blown lie. Corrective is a very doubtful organization in Germany. It's an Antifa, like a little media terrorist organization from the Antifa, paid by the German government partly too, because their buddies are now ministers from the Greens in the parliament. And this has nothing to do with neutral or with media or with journalism. This is just a tool of the political warfare in Germany. So Corrective is really doubtful, and nobody can really rely on data from them. And it shows that what they said and what they pronounced was a full-blown lie. They tried to speak out very carefully that it could be, it might be, it should be, it whatever. But what they got out was the intention of putting somehow the blame of narcissism to the AfD. But when you dig into these programs, you don't really find anything of this. You find the old agendas from the Christian Democrats and from the Socialistic Party when Helmut Schmidt was still chancellor, which are now the agenda from the AfD. So this has I can hardly find anything of narcissism and of Nazi propaganda in there. The opposite, the Nazis were socialists, and what we have now with the Greens and with the Socialist Party, they are socialists, but they are not so much nationally orientated. They are more internationally orientated. That's it's a big difference between those. But what I have heard is from our government is more than embarrassing concerning the comments on these propaganda things they did. What is even more scary is that they think that people are so dumb and they don't get it. But I doubt it, because now we have many discussions in the free media that puts out the real data. And what coincidence, the EU chairman Ursula von der Leyen met with those people in the organizers with Olaf Scholz and the others in Hamburg to discuss how to really get censorship in Germany full blown, even though it is not legal, even though these free media does nothing illegal, nothing wrong, nothing, just to push their fake news and their lies into openly. And she openly admitted at the Davos meeting that this is her nowadays and her main agenda for the next things. And this protest and how it was managed shows us a little bit how they want to do it in future now.
Now, as you mentioned, there have been efforts underway to outright ban AfD as a party in German politics. But this effort is really facing some legal hurdles. However, the party is being investigated, some say surveilled, by the Scholz government on suspicion of what they say is extremism. Now, critics of Scholz and his traffic light coalition are comparing this to the Stasi, while even more are comparing this to how the U.S. government are treating Donald Trump's MAGA supporters. How would you compare MAGA and AfD and how each respective government is treating these political movements?
Well, I don't see a too close connection between those two. But what can be said for sure is that our Verfassungsschutz, as it is called, is acting nowadays more or less like the Stasi before, because it's a political-led organization in the political war, and they are, and that a government entity, a secret service government entity, is organized against a political opponent is something we haven't seen for over 80 years in Germany, which is super scary. And we know from East Germany and from the Russian, from Russia, so from the Soviets, how this could end. And we have proof that in former days, the Secret Service was the majority of the functionaries of a party that has been forbidden years ago, which was a so-called nationalistic Nazi party, that has been run mainly by the government, by the Secret Service. And this was the problem why they couldn't forbid this party in the first place, because the court said, well, if your secret servants are sitting in the board, in the majority of the board, they can do whatever they like. They can change the course. So what we have to face, this party was made to put this narrative of Germans are Nazis out and to collect these. And with the AfD, they have nothing, because the AfD is more on the constitution than all the other parties. The AfD is for free speech. The other parties want censorship. The AfD is for sticking to the promise what every minister, every politician has to do, that he's acting in favor of the German population. They want this. The governmental parties don't want this. Openly don't want this. So we have it is for 99% sure that any court would deny any restrictions against the AfD. So this is just a political fight. It is to discredit them openly by discussing, how can we forbid them? They are right wing and so on, but nothing is true. Whenever people were asked, please tell me in specific what you mean specifically, where are they right wing? They cannot tell anything. All the answers are nothing. They don't come up with anything. So this is just propaganda, what they do, because they lose control. And this is the main topic where we are facing. The politicians at the minute, they know that with their agenda that the leaders of the party have pushed through, and or what they want the parties to do is not in favor of the German people or of the European people. And the people acknowledge that already. They know it. They got after it. And so they deny, they refuse these politicians, and they fear to lose control. And when they lose control, they have to confess their bodies in the US or in those other foreign entities that they cannot keep the lid on the Germans, that they cannot rule them anymore. So it is very probable that they lose their job, that they are exchanged. And this is what these politicians don't want. And at the minute, they are really scary because they probably have lost the majority of the people. And the main thing where it really started was when people saw how easy those governmental entities abandoned all the constitutional rights for the German people by these so-called corona measurements they undertook. The people were put in at home, jailed at home. People were not allowed to go somewhere. People had no rights of their personal informations. They had to openly confess who they are, if they are vaccinated, and so on. And people don't forget that quick. I mean, people forget, yes, but not that quick. And there people have seen that this is very, very alike the beginning of the Soviet Revolution, where at the end of the day, the communists killed over 57 million Russians. And this is the pathway there is very, very similar at the minute. And this is very scary. And people have learned from the history in so far that they say this is what we don't want. And politicians are now scared that they cannot keep on with their agenda.
Indeed, it does sound like the ruling parties have lost a lot of popularity across most of Germany. All right, hold on one second. Coming up next, Germany's very own Ursula von der Leyen, the face of the EU, will soon be out of a job. Her term as European Commission president coming to an end soon, but the fate of many German farmers and workers may not be as good as von der Leyen's jobs prospects. We'll discuss it when we return with economist Eike Hammer. Sit tight. The MO will be right back.
The Russian state-controlled narrative.
Als Teil der Sanktionen gegen Russland gehen die westlichen Länder gegen russische Auslandssender vor.
Mais écoutez, monsieur, c'est pas à vous de décider de qui est journaliste ou pas dans ce pays. On est en France, quoi, c'est pas possible.
We will ban in the European Union the Kremlin's media machine. The state-owned Russia Today and Sputnik.
RT, Sputnik, even our video agency, roughly all banned on YouTube.
Et merci à vous tous pour votre fidélité et votre soutien.
Welcome back to The MO. I'm Manila Chan. Dr. Ayka Hammer, economist and publisher of Wirtschaft Aktuell, is back with us. Thank you for sticking around, Ayka. Now, let's talk a little bit about the German economy. I mean, your expertise is economics. Tell us a bit more about the state of Germany's economy. I mean, how this relates to the AfD's popularity or perhaps their rise. And these new massive farmers' protests that began just after the new year, how does all of this tie into one another? Or is it related at all?
Well, what we can say for sure is that most entrepreneurs regard the politics from Berlin as a sabotage politics. You will hear CEOs from international conglomerates such as Siemens and so on who do the opposite because they are closer to the government because of subsidies they get than to the economy and to the rest of the economy. But the economy is made in Germany by the millions of entrepreneurs and like small businesses, small and medium-sized businesses. And they have faced a totally different story. They have the most regulated environment ever. So, for example, to turn some greenland into some industrial land takes, in a case I know personally, 20 years, over 20 years to turn a greenland into an industrial land just to produce something. And there has nothing built yet. So in the same time in China, they built from a 40,000 inhabitants village, Wuhan, to a 40 million city in the same time. Whereas in Germany, because of the regulations, nothing has happened yet. And this is struggling the people. This is struggling the entrepreneurs. They have no chance but continue working because what should they do otherwise? They have not, they fall into nothing. It's not that they are covered like all the guests the government invites. So these people recognize that things are not doing, that the government is not acting in their favor. And then this ridiculous so-called energy turn to a so-called green energy it turns out to be a hoax, turns out not to work, like nothing works like these politicians do. I mean, what do you expect from people who have no education, who have never worked in a real job, who have never who never had to work honestly to make their living? They were always living on taxpayers' behalves. And they didn't even finish school sometimes. Some of the politicians didn't even finish school or never had any education at university or as an honest craftsman or whatever. So these people are so driven by the ideology that they don't care whether the entrepreneurs have to close down, and we have never seen so many close downs in the last 5-6 years than now. And people are seeing that the energy costs have skyrocketed, they have international disadvantages, that they can't compete with most of the competitors internationally because the government-driven costs are so high that they have no chance. And on top, now it is that the people don't get any staff because the government pays people for not doing anything more than they can earn as a medium paid job in Germany. And this is just a way that doesn't work out. and on top. Now we have the farmers that are struggling to survive because they charge them with an additional 1 billion of taxes or other expenses, which is in total not much, but for the farmers it's huge. And on the same time, they spend 10 times the amount for nonsense internationally, for bicycle ways in somewhere in South America, for gender stuff somewhere in Africa. Nobody wants that. For weapons to some war somewhere. So this is the people are really fed up with what they are doing in Berlin. And this is now the situation. The economy is struggling and we are facing to a collapse of the economy. And that means that the entire European project will fall apart because Europe is nothing else but a sucking out club against Germany. It's only to plunder Germany. That's why the European Union was founded. And that is their main purpose. But Germany won't give too much to plunder anymore. The economy here is struggling and more people are closing down and are fed up, closing their businesses because they have reached an age and rather say we close down than get going through this heavy stuff that the government are putting on us.
Dr. Eike Hammer, economist and publisher of Wirtschaft Aktuell, thank you so much for your time. I got to leave it right there. Make sure you check out his work at hammerbrief.de.
Thank you very much.
All right, that is going to do it for this episode of Modus Operandi, the show that digs deep into foreign policy and current affairs. I'm your host, Manila Chan. Thank you for tuning in. We'll see you again next time to figure out the MO.